Hallelujah. I just like to continue in the flow of grace. I like to read, just to give a background, from Titus chapter 2, from verse 11 to verse 15. Titus chapter 2, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Titus chapter 2, from verse 11 to verse 15. It reads, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And we have established to us that this grace is both a divine enabling and also the revelation of a person. It's not just an enabling in terms of something, it's a person that comes to be domiciled, that take residence on the inside of us and to walk in us. Philippians chapter 2 makes us to understand, you read in verse 13, he said, it's God at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that working of God is the grace of God. It's the revelation of Jesus that enables us in any sphere of life. You see, unfortunately, today's church, we do many things that shut down the grace of God. I'd like to dwell on that this afternoon. As a carrier of grace, you need to recognize that with God you have to reckon with. You need to recognize that you need to factor God in your thoughts, in your time, in your closet, in your home, when you are alone, when you are in the midst of people. God has not called us into a double life. God has not called us into a life of compartments. The way to live when you are in church, the way you to live after you share the grace, the way to function when you are in the midst of unbelievers. Everywhere you are a carrier of grace. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So, salt may not be the biggest in volume, but it will have significant impact wherever you put it. Light may not have the biggest size. Light doesn't have to be as big as this marquee and gathering marquee facility. Look at the light points. Look at the size of this building. One of these points of light is enough to illuminate this place. It's not in the size, it's in the effect. And so as a carrier of grace, you need to recognize that what God has given you is able. That's why I said this grace has appeared to all men, embodied in one person, but able to illuminate the earth. Carried in one human being, but able to illuminate any man in every place. Illuminate madmen, illuminate religious folks, illuminate demon-possessed people, illuminate wealthy people. This grace is in every one of us, and as it worked in Jesus, so can it work in our lives. If you walk in Jesus in particular ways and he's not walking our lives in those particular ways, it's not because of the impotence of grace. It's because of our response to grace. When he called us, like I said in the first session, as a carrier of grace, we are a carrier of a responsibility to function as an ambassador. Knowing that what you have loved to do, he sends you forth to do those same things there. Those ways you have liked to conduct himself, he sends you forth there to conduct yourself in like manner. The way he would like to treat unbelievers, he sends you into their midst so that you can be his arms extended. So can you can be his legs to move into the midst of those people. It should not be with you differently from the way it is with Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. The works that he did, so can we do. Greater works than he did, so we can do. Because of the working of grace in our lives. Don't make light of the grace of God, friends. You are a carrier of grace. You are a carrier of something sublime, something supernatural, something divine, something out of this world that can make you. Never measure your life based on material parameters. Never measure your life based on your height. Paul was not the tallest of men. Bible history makes us to understand that Paul was not even up to 5 feet. Most of us in here are up to 5 feet. I'm 5 feet 10. Most of us in here are up to 5 feet. Bible history makes us to understand, historians make us to understand that Paul was about 4 feet 11. Look at the magnificence of impact. Look at the magnitude of impact. Look at the scale of impact. Look at the reach of impact. Not because he had chariots. Not because he had stature. Not because he had looks. Not even because of his eloquence. When he counted, when it came to the revelation of Christ, he counted all these things as done. The things men pride in. The things himself he that so prided in. As a Hebrew of the Hebrew. As from the tribe of Benjamin. as a scholar under legendary Gamaliel, as the youngest of the Pharisees, like the Senate of our nation, the Pharisees in the class, he found himself as a Pharisee. He was like in the Senate of his nation, the youngest in the Senate of his nation. Yet he said, when he pleased God to reveal his son in me and confirm not with flesh and blood, Galatians chapter 1, he said, Philippians chapter 3, I count all these things as dung. All the things I prided in, circumcised the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, things men pride in, scholarship men pride in, knowledge men pride in, charisma men pride in. He said, I count these things as dung. Dung is excreta, animal excreta. So the magnitude, the scale on which he put the grace of God, made the things men pride in to become like excreta to him. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God at work in me. Are you a recipient of grace? What do you value? It's not enough to speak in tongues, friend. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not just to speak in tongues. It's to live a life. It is questionable that some generals of the faith actually spoke in tongues. But it is not questionable as to the quality of their Christian life, the magnitude of their Christian life, the impact of their Christian life. If all you receive is speaking in tongues, you are making nonsense of grace. You have received something sublime. You have received something that angels desire to peep into. You have received something that the kings of this world will still marvel that you don't have their wealth, you don't have their fame, you don't have their chariots, you don't have their limousines, but they regard you because you're a carrier of grace. Now, growing up, when you see a priest of church, they don't change garments. They wear white cassock, long sleeve, down to their feet, to their ankles. They might not have come in the best cars, but they are regarded. Because they might not have demonstrated the power of grace in raising the dead, but they demonstrated the dignity and integrity of grace. Don't just measure grace because you are able to raise the dead. There are people who have raised the dead who have gallantly moved to hell. Don't just measure grace on the place of demonstration of raw power. How about the character? How about the integrity? How about the fruit of the Spirit? How about loving the unlovable? How about peace in the midst of storms? Friends, if you're a carrier of grace, you have received something sublime. Something out of this world. Something eternal. Something divine. And when Paul realized it, amazingly, for all of Paul's scholarship, for all of Paul's pedigree, for all of Paul's learning, God never permitted him to write a book or a letter until he was broken. Until he realized that it wasn't about his pedigree of scholarship and his knowledge as a member of the Sanhedrin. He realized that all these things are dung compared to the excellency of God and his Christ. Paul, there are 28 books of the New Testament. It is commonly believed that Paul wrote 13 to 14 of those books. The one that is controversial in many quarters is the authorship of Hebrews. Some believe Paul wrote it. Some believe some other people wrote it. But that's not my concern today. But how God can give 27 books as a compendium of the New Testament and one man wrote about half of those books. It's amazing. But for as long as he prided in being a member of the Sanhedrin, a member of the Benjamin tribe, when he said a Hebrew of the Hebrews, because Jacob had wives of force, wives of love, wives of circumstance. They produced 12 men. Out of those 12 men, 2 came from the wife of love. So that is what made for the segregation amongst Jacob's children. When you read some terms in Philippians chapter 3, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That is, amongst the 12 sons of Jacob, there is still classification. We are the special ones. We are the ones of the wife he loved. The children of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. So that's why he said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You want to get it further? Of the tribe of Benjamin. Let me move faster here. My time is flying. So when he was broken from things men prided in, then God started to make him to write scriptures for our benefit till in the church till tomorrow. Friends, you have received awesome grace. Friends, you have received sublime grace. Friends, you have received something divine. Never make light of it. Take responsibility for it in your life, in your mind, in your space, in your marriage, in your academics, in your public life, in your personal space, where no man has access to, in your thoughts. Let grace guide you. Let grace teach you. Let grace tell you how to say no to certain thoughts. Men captured in pornography, men of God captured with pornography, with masturbation. Grace can give you power. It doesn't mean these things, does not seduce all, but grace can make us say no to those things. Don't give excuses for falling short of the standards of God. God gave us grace so that we don't fall short of the standards of God. Are you still in here? So he said this grace teaches us and tells us to be able to and say no to worldliness and ungodliness. And also to be able to live a sober life. A generation is on our hands. We just want to enjoy. We want to go to cinema. We want to enjoy. We want to come to church. We want to enjoy. Friends, this thing you want to enjoy costs a man his life. Costs God his best. Everywhere. There are some segments that must be consecrated. This song that is so popular in Nigeria now, I have decided. The younger ones want to enjoy the I have decided. The one who gave the original lyrics of the song lost his life as a martyr. Lost his wife as a martyr. Lost his two children as a martyr. Because he gave his life to Jesus. And the village head, how dare you to say you believe in a man they brought from across the ocean? Renounce him now or we take your wife. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. The village head told his archers, bow and arrow. He was not bombed to die in an instant. He was bow and arrow. They shot the wife in his presence in the village gathering. Verifiable online. You can Google it. And the wife was twitching in his presence, in the gathering to death, in pain. Will you change your mind now? He said, though the cross before me, the world behind me. They brought his children. We'll deal with these ones now too. He kept on giving new lyrics that was now formed in the song later on. They shot down his children in his presence. Will you change your mind now? He gave another declaration that formed another line of the song. Then they turned the altars on him and shot him to death as well. Amazingly, after the whole family was brought down, the village head suddenly became convicted. What kind of power is this? What kind of man is this? That a man they came to preach to us from across the nation, across the ocean, we never saw. This whole family laid down their lives. He said, I want to follow this Jesus as well. After he had killed the whole family. And then the power of influence. The power of leadership. When he gave his life, the whole village gave their lives. At great cost. If that happens to you or someone you love or your family member and they change the melody of the song to I have decided to follow, will you join them to dance? If you knew what went into it. I'm not against fun song. I dance. Those who know me know I dance. Some of my friends say, don't come and dance here. Don't come and out dance us. I love to dance. When I was a younger, my mom said they used to carry me from party to party for dancing competition. I dance. I still dance. But can we hallow some territory just for Jesus? Can we say, just for Jesus, I will not do this? I can do it in other places, do it in school, do it in class, do it in lecture theater, do it in cinema, do it when I go to the beach, the waterfront. Oh, for Jesus? Nah. Some years ago when the last of my siblings got married, so they were singing all kind of songs there. I was just watching them. I didn't. And suddenly they sang this song by Ayefele. Then I jumped up in my brother. Then I started dancing. My mom's friend said, I've been watching you. When they were singing all those other songs, you were watching them. You were staring at them. When you heard that your master is the Orisua, you jumped up. I said, thank God, that's a good witness. They didn't say, no, be that man of God, you said that man. Those kind of songs, he was the one jumping, dancing more than everybody there. What stake will you stake for Jesus? What standards will you set for Jesus? What extra mile will you go for Jesus? This grace does not only teach what to say no to. It also gives you power to live soberly, to live righteously. Who said the days we live, they are dangerous days, they are very bad days. Everybody is compromising. By grace, you can take a stand for Jesus. You can live soberly. You can live godly. You can live righteously. The Bible says, in this present age, not when we get to heaven. And this grace also teaches us about getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Awakening the consciousness of the body. Some of us were like the 10 virgins. Some were like the 10, 5 wise virgins. Some are like the 10 foolish virgins. Amazingly, all the 10 slept. All the 10 heard the sound of the trumpet. The groom is coming. All the 10 got up. I challenge the church of this generation. I challenge the believers in this gathering. I challenge those of you are trying to make up your mind about Jesus. And Pastor was sharing with us in the course we attended. We were part of Monday to Friday. That's Pastor Tunde Bakari. He was sharing with us before he became a full pastor. He was a practicing lawyer in the 80s. So this woman came and said, can you help me to get Forex at the official rate? He said, yes, I can do it for you. As a lawyer, I can do anything. He said he knew in himself that he cannot do it. But he was hoping, I'm about to get married, maybe next week or next month. Let me make some extra money here. Immediately he negotiated with the woman. The woman needed maybe about $60,000 at the time. He said he ran to Alaba, went to Price Sound System, Sonyo, that he will buy once he makes money from the. Then the following day was Sunday, he went to church. Pastor Adeboye was preaching. He said, today I want to preach on the sin of lies. And as he was preaching, he said, can you imagine? Someone comes to offer you a business you know you cannot do and offer $60,000. They've come to report me here. Because the $60,000 negotiated with the woman was the exact amount. You know, God has a way of bringing those words of knowledge. Nobody talks, but the Spirit talks to the man. He said he didn't even wait for service to end. He ran to the woman. Immediately after service, ran to Pastor Adeboye's office. He said, sir, how are you, sir? Did anybody come to report you? He said, report you? No. He said, thank God, in his mind. Then he ran from there, ran to the woman's house. He said, you know that business you wanted to give me? I don't want to do it again. I cannot do it. He said, well, you just told me 2 days ago you can do it. And he said, when he was saying that, he said, today our pastor preached about the sin of lies. And I believe he was preaching about me. I don't want to do it again. I cannot do it. The husband, an unbeliever, was here. The woman's husband was an unbeliever, was hearing the conversation in his room. He came out and said, you mean someone can be a Christian and behave like this? He was too shocked. After the man of God left, it influenced the man's decision. He went to look for Jesus and said, I want to give my heart to you. What standards have you borne for Jesus? What standards are you raising for Jesus? Are you just in the flow? Everybody's doing it. Or you are a stop to corruption. You are a check to compromise. Grace teaches us to live soberly. Grace teaches us to live righteously. To be on the right side of God. Grace teaches us to live a godly life. With all the iniquity, with all the perversion, with all the lawlessness, grace teaches us that, brother, you can do it. Sister, you can live above the compromise. You can live above the corruption. And most of all, grace does not just teach us, train us, equip us. Grace has a finishing line. Grace, verse 14, help me project that. Okay, from verse 13, just leave it there, we'll get to verse 14. By this grace that appears to all men, by this grace that teaches us, by this grace that equips us to be able to say no to ungodliness and worldliness, to say yes to righteousness, soberness and godliness. This same grace equips us to look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, buy us back from every lawless deed. I will come back to this lawless deed in a moment in another context. And purified for himself, for Jesus, the embodiment of grace, the personification of grace. Purified for himself, his own special people, out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of that culture, still a part of that culture, but with a different culture. Out of that campus, still on that campus, but with a different lifestyle. Out of that family, still a member of that family, but with different concepts. Purify for himself his own special people. Zealous, passionate for good works. Verse 15. He says, speak these things or teach these things. Exhort, charge, challenge, rebuke with all authority. And let no one despise. Let no one despise you. I take this a little bit further. I want to bring to attention what I call grace neutralizers. I started by saying, amongst other things, what grace worked in Jesus can also work in your life. The character grace worked in Jesus, it can also work in your life. The placement, the alignment grace produced in Jesus, it will also produce in our lives. Alignment, what do I mean by that? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and have told us with that smearing, the anointing was an enabling. It was not just in the oil smearing. It was not in the spirit smearing. The spirit smearing produced spirit power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And you begin to see a number of things there. By that enabling, by that grace, he went about doing good. In character, doing good. In teaching, doing good. In casting out demons, doing good. In embracing children that his disciples were driving away, doing good. In giving hope to the hopeless, doing good. Rejected by society, like Zacchaeus, a wealthy custom official, like madman of the Gadarenes, locked down in the valley of dead people and dead bones. Like Mary Magdalene, possessed of seven demons. People socially ostracized. People financially segregated. People segregated by reason of their age, the children. He went about doing good. Placing value on every human being. Making everyone to have a sense of belonging. A sense of worth. Rejected by society. Embraced by Jesus. Discarded by society. Valued by Jesus. Stone rejected or builders. Becoming the precious cornerstone. Are you rejected in this gathering? Are you rejected by your family? Are you rejected in your course field? Are you rejected because of your looks? Are you rejected because of your faith? The stone rejected or builders. Builders are not mediocres. Builders are professionals. They know what to look out for. They know the constitution they are looking out for their building. And parts of the stone that will make the pillars, parts of the stone that will make the foundation, parts of the stone that will be put in the walls. Builders know the constitution they are looking for. But they carried this stone. They said this one is useless. It's of no value to our project. It's a liability to what we are doing. A stone rejected of the builders found the most important place. A precious cornerstone. No matter how people have rejected you, society rejected you, your background rejected you, family rejects you, and the people you grew up together with, your classmates, now because they feel they're on a higher social level, you are still down there on a lower social level, they reject you. Jesus will never reject you. A candidate of grace. You can be a recipient of grace. And not just that he will reject you and say, by and by, we'll understand these things. Just follow me. One day, you will understand it. No. He wants to walk in you. He wants to change you. He wants to empower you. He wants to equip you. He wants to lavish his grace on you. Stone rejected of the builders has become the precious, the precious, the precious, the precious. Precious also means valuable. What the builders treated as valueless, of no significance, of no worth, and put it into Jesus' hands, he will put grace. Stone rejected of the builder have become the precious cornerstone. And he said, this is not the builder's doing. This is the Lord's doing. This is the master builder's doing. This is the pillar and the ground of the truth doing. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight. May the Lord make your life marvelous. I speak words of grace over this atmosphere. Rejected by men. Rejected by self. You thought by this stage you have attained to something. And you are not there. And you reject yourself. You condemn yourself. You give up on yourself. May the hand of grace be stretched forth towards you right now. Whatever society has used to yoke you, to rope you, to keep you beneath your original. Your best version is not on campus. Your best version is not even comprehended by your parents. Your best version is your heavenly version. And grace has come to download it into your life. May you receive grace for the days ahead of you, for the journey ahead of you, that is grace. May you receive grace. And where you have been rejected, may you become of value. May you become of significance. May you become precious. Receive grace in this house. Grace for the journey. Grace to say no to what is wrong. Grace to say right to what is right. Grace to say yes to the Lord. Receive grace in this house. In the mighty name of Jesus. But on this journey of grace, there are what I call grace neutralizers. That makes nonsense of something valuable you receive. That makes light, makes no sense, makes nonsense of this precious heavenly enabling. And as church, we need to be one. And as church, we need to be discerning. And as church, we need to be on the lookout. Not just to receive from the Lord, but to be sure that we don't also receive what corrupts what we receive from the Lord. Grace neutralizer. The Bible begins to tell me when you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from the latter part, from verse 20, verse 21, you read to chapter 6. You know, sometimes the original writings were one flow. No chapters, no verses. For scholarship, for referencing, sometimes for memorization, scholars puts the Bible in chapters and verses. Sometimes their good intent becomes a problem even for me. So I see the compartment of just verse 1
Not seeing that it links verse 2. And it even links the previous chapter. I don't know about you, but those chapter verses become the compartment for me. Look at medical science, for example. They tell you, give you a particular tablet. They say it's particular, maybe 3 milligrams. Then they say take three of it, 3 times a day. Why didn't they put all that milligram into one? So sometimes the compartmentalization, the grouping, can become a mind lock. We're not able to see beyond that verse. The previous verse. The subsequent verse. But you see, if you're not going to go into error, you need to understand the context of scriptures. If you take the text from context, you are left with con. You become a con man. Text without context, take the text away, you are left with con, trickery, manipulation. And so you begin to see the flow when he said, now, if a man be in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And talks about how we have received the ministry of reconciliation, a word of reconciliation. And because we have received the ministry of reconciliation, you become an ambassador of Christ. Realizing that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, Christ. Wherefore, in the light of this, now second, the next verse. We then, in the light of that flow, as workers together with him, receiving a ministry of reconciliation, becoming his ambassadors, receiving a new life in Christ, we then as workers with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. As a new creature, growing to receive a word of reconciliation, growing to minister the ministry of reconciliation, growing to become a diplomat of the kingdom, an ambassador of Christ Jesus, realizing what Jesus did, he said, as workers with him, ambassadors of his, do not receive the grace of God in vain. What does it mean to receive grace in vain? What does it mean to receive grace in vain? It is to ignore grace. It's there, but it is neutralized. What does it mean to receive the grace of God in vain? It is to squander, to waste, to become prodigal. Wasting heavenly resources, wasting what cost Jesus his life, wasting what cost God his son. So he said, as workers, a Christian is a worker with Jesus. As an ambassador, worker with Jesus, with the ministry of reconciliation, worker with Jesus. He said, now, having received this ministry as a worker, do not receive this grace in vain. Meaning, don't squander it, don't waste it. To receive the grace of God in vain also means to do nothing. In character, you don't allow that grace to change you. In worldview, you don't allow that grace to change you. In the midst of compromise, you don't say no to compromise. In the midst of corruption, you blend with corruption. When you are meant to be an agent of delivering humanity from the bondage of corruption. Are you still in here? Hello friends, are you still in here? If you walk as a Christian, as a member of the new creation, becoming one with the word of reconciliation, receiving a ministry of reconciliation, becoming an ambassador of Christ Jesus, and you don't walk appropriately, you can receive the grace of God in vain. And we have cases of such all around us today. People, you can see, evidently, grace is here. This is a Christian, but this is a man of God, but this guy preaches the word of God, but I note some other things when he's not on the pulpit. doing nothing with what you have received. Something special. I started by telling us, as a carrier of grace, you receive something sublime. Something special. Something divine. Something heavenly and eternal. But it's possible to be as a worker with Jesus to receive the grace in vain. Don't ever imagine that grace will automatically produce good out of you. You take responsibility for that grace to make it produce out of your life. The same recipients of grace like Jesus, his apostles, they were thinking of calling down fire. Jesus said, no, you don't know what spirit. What spirit also means you don't know what measure of grace, what kind of grace that work in your life. It's not for killing people. It's for helping people. It's for restraint. Let me move faster. So a grace neutralizer is to receive grace in vain. Closely related to that, you can frustrate grace. You can set aside grace. You can live in grace and conduct like you are never a recipient of grace. When they begin to ask you, are you sure this guy is a Christian? Where I saw him yesterday. Don't let's talk about it. I was told about one of the men in our local church. Man. One of my leaders was telling me recently that where they met him recently, and the next generation, the age mates of his own children, they met in nightclub. The kind of things he was doing there. And see, when I hear some of those things, I behave like I've never heard it. He said the kind of things he was doing. So when he saw his children's peers in the same lounge, in the same nightclub, he was advising them, it's not everything you see here, you carry out. So the things you see here, let it die here. So what will make it morally wrong for those young men who saw him to say, ah, if you want it to die here, you will give us something else. So they rub his back, he has to rub their backs. Grace can be frustrated. Set aside like it was never received. Set aside, though a recipient of grace, heaven is rejoicing. This one has received grace. Angels are rejoicing. What Jesus used is also at work in this person's life. And yet the person is frustrating. Frustrating, nullifying, neutralizing, making of no effect. Divine enabling. Look at this. Galatians chapter 2 from verse 20. I have been crucified, put to death with Jesus. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, grace personified, lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21. I do not frustrate. It's a choice. It's not the Holy Spirit is moving. No, it's a choice. It's intentional. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Let me bring a bend to this here. When you receive grace and conduct yourself like you have not received grace, you nullify grace. You put it in a place like it's not effective in your life. You make yourself a ready victim of witchcraft and manipulation. Why do you think we have some of our churches, they have very profound and motivational speakers, charismatic speakers, and you begin to see patterns of corruption, patterns of compromise, patterns of contamination in the people? Because once you lock down grace, you neutralize it, you can become a ready victim of manipulation. And I'll show you from scriptures. If you don't stop in that last verse of chapter 2, and you move to the next verse, you see it there. Let's read the flow again. Galatians chapter 2 from verse 20. We flow to chapter 3 and verse 5.
Let's read it together. Galatians chapter 2 from verse 20, and we flow. We are reading 7 verses. 2 verses, last 2 verses, chapter 2. First 5 verses, chapter 3. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside. I do not frustrate. King James says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Next verse. Oh, foolish Galatians, believers, Christians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. So how did suddenly witchcraft, another term for manipulation, come in? Recipients of grace, carriers of grace, because they allowed a frustration. It could be from the pulpit. It could be from their personal choices. This part of the Bible, I like it. This other part of the Bible, I don't like it. It's not convenient for me. When you select truth, you can turn yourself into a lawful captive. They don't give you medication, some sweet, some capsules, some bitter. And when you taste, I like this one, I will use it. Even if they say I should use it 3 times a day, I will use it. This one capsule, anyway, it's tasteless, I will use it. This other one, it's bitter, I will not use it. The most bitter one may be the most needed one. And the doctor knows your need, has seen the symptoms, has done the test, and recommends the good, the sweet one, the tasteless capsule, and the bitter one. If you will get well, you use everything. But here he says, who has bewitched you? Let me get back to that verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Next verse. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, having begun a work of grace, having received of the grace of God, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? By carnality? By the works of the flesh? By worldliness? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit or supplies the Spirit of grace to you and works miracles amongst you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Because once faith goes up, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, grace will come down. But if you receive grace and yet you knock it, you lock it down, you don't engage it, you don't put grace to work in your life, you can become a ready victim of witchcraft. And then he begins to, but I thought that guy was a Christian. How can he believe such things they are saying? How can he be living this kind of life? Because the moment you frustrate, you set aside, you nullify grace, for grace teaches, grace instructs, you set it aside, witchcraft can gallantly come in. And we have many in today's church, especially in the Pentecostal churches, who are victims of witchcraft. Sweet saying, 2 Peter chapter 2 calls it great swelling words of emptiness. A placebo. It said great things. You like the charisma. You like the words. But does it drop Christ? Does it transmit Christ? Does it make you more like Jesus? Does it make you willing to carry your cross? Does it make you to be crucified to the world and the world crucified to you? Whatever sayings of men that diminishes Jesus and increases the world is a teaching that leads into witchcraft and into captivity. And I pray for you, may you not frustrate the grace of God. Friends, may you not frustrate the grace of God. Quickly, so I round up things and pray in this place. So he says, do not receive the grace in vain. talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, here in Galatians chapter 2 and chapter 3, it talks about not frustrating, nullifying the grace of God. In another place in scriptures, but I won't be able to dig into that, it talks about not neglecting this salvation. I would also like to call it not neglecting this grace. In Hebrews, Pastor Femi dealt with that in a dimension. Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 4. Do not neglect. I think he dealt with Hebrews chapter 4. So, it talks about neglecting grace. But because of my time now, I want to dwell on this last one. Turning the grace of God into licentiousness. Liberty to do anything, even if it is wrong. That is licentiousness. King James calls it lewdness. Lewdness. Turning grace into lewdness. Jude chapter 1, quickly from verse 1 to verse 4. As we get ready to read that, lewdness also means lawlessness. Not under law to God, not under law to any man. Lewdness, licentiousness, lasciviousness also means lawlessness. It also means immorality. It means perversion into immorality. Let's see scriptural context for this. Jude chapter 1, I'd like to read from verse 1 to verse 4. It said, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, when I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary, expedient to write to you, exhorting you to contend. To contend is to fight. To contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. They join us, but they are not rooted in Christ. They demonstrate charisma. They demonstrate some dimensions of grace, but not the total package of grace. Look at the total package of grace in the context of Titus chapter 2 that appears to all men, that teaches us, shows us what to say no to, shows us how to live, and shows us how to be ready for the Lord. That is the total gospel. That is the total package of grace. He said, but here, certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. They are among us in the churches. They're among us in the pulpits, they hold microphone like us, but here he says they are ungodly men. And what do? They turn the grace of our God into lewdness. You can do anything. Once you are saved, you are forever saved. Once you have confessed Jesus, he will never forsake you. Yes, he will never forsake you, but we can forsake him. Said in Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 5 to verse 6, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. But some have refused the help of God. They don't want his help anymore. His help is taking too long. I got married. It was on the anniversary of our 4 years wedding anniversary, before my wife took him for the first time. And we were not abstaining, sir. I know you are a very holy man. November 2000. 4 years. We married November 96. Before my wife took him the first time. And that produced our son. And then, you know, in my vernacular, in my culture, Yoruba, they say, oh, this one has opened the floodgates. MRBC, MRSC, MRBANYU, LORILE. I didn't know I still have that level of Yoruba. I thought Port Harcourt had taken that Yoruba from me. Hallelujah. Then we started counting again. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years before my daughter came. And then 2 weeks to her delivery, my wife got up one morning and said, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I'm not feeling any fertile activity. I said, look at you. Have you forgotten that even the folder in the hospital, they wrote miracle baby on top of the folder? I said, I just did one to fulfill all righteousness prayer. Let's just pray. From doctor to doctor, they said no fertile activity. Went to scan, said fertile activity is gone. 2 weeks of delivery. What will you do? Say, if this Jesus cannot help me, let me go and look for another Jesus. I have decided, that is the context, to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. But God, in the lowest moment of my life up till that time, my wife could not even put herself together. Almost every time, every day, she's crying. What did the Lord say? What has the Lord said? And then after like 3 days, I was just rounding up my devotion in our study, in our home. And then the Lord said, I will comfort you. 4 years before first conception. Over 7 years before second conception. The next month, after that baby, she was induced and she gave birth to that baby. The next cycle, she was confirmed pregnant again. I mean, you don't need too much calculation. If you waited 48 months to conceive first time, waited now another, that is 7 times 12, that is 84, maybe like 88 months before second conception. Now the next cycle. And then, so when she was born, we just named her in my vernacular, Oluwatumininu, because that's a prophetic word, I will comfort you. So the comfort came almost immediately. But you know why I said all that is to challenge us in this. To make us realize, and some are turning the grace of God into lewdness. You can do anything. You can behave anyhow. Time will not permit you today to show us true scriptures. True scriptures. With the likes of Demas, with the likes of Judas, with the likes of Alexander the coppersmith. How people can tap into this grace, follow this path of grace, and lose this grace. Don't be fooled that once you are saved, you are forever saved. He will not forsake you, but we can say, I've had enough of this. We can forsake him. All right, here, so it says here, who turned the grace of God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The NIV of that verse 4 says, for certain men, certain individuals, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you, behaving like you, having your lingo, having your language, but they don't have your origin. They have not met Jesus. Secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert. They are perverts. Who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality. One of my friends is a senior friend. He's one of the very notable men of God in Ghana. We do missions work in Ghana every October, November. He said, Tunji, I was in a city in America, in Colorado. So let me mention the name of the city. I almost mentioned the name of the city. He said, Tunji, there is no man of God of note who is not a divorcee. The whole city is their culture. Some are on the second wife, some are on the third wife, some are on the fourth wife. Tunji, there is no man of God of note who is not a divorcee. Does that bring honor to the name of the Lord? Does that put the name of Jesus in good light? Does that serve as a witness to the unsaved, the people of the world? He said they've slipped in unawares, kept in unnoticed, and what do? They pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ as our only sovereign. and Lord. Another translation here, the New English Translation says, that verse 4, Jude chapter 1 verse 4, he said, for certain men have secretly slipped in among you, men who long ago were marked out for the condemnation I am about to describe, ungodly men who have turned the grace of our God into a license for evil, and who deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Friends, these are grace neutralizers. These are things on a daily basis. I was in this course, we just finished Monday to Friday. I think it was Wednesday. One of the leaders who was in that course walked up to me. I went to use the bathroom. Apparently, I'd been watching out for me, but I'm always seated in front. So when he saw me come to the bathroom, as I was coming out of the bathroom, he just cornered me. He said, sir, I have a word of the Lord for you. I said, oh, so what is it? So he brought out a piece of paper. He said, the Lord put in my heart 5 a.m. this morning when I woke up for my devotion and put you in my heart. I never knew the man until that day. I have never seen him in my life. He said, the Lord put this word in my heart that always place yourself before the Lord, always. By my mind, the first thing is that something I did wrong for God to be making this deal? Because that's the first thing that came to my mind. So I took the word. He said, then go and read Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to verse 2, the Message translation. Place your life before the Lord always. So from that night, every day, before I go to bed, when I wake up in the morning, since Wednesday, I say, God, I present myself before you again now. If there's anything in my mind, in my life, in my ways, in my thoughts, search me now, true and true. But after like the second day, I realized that it wasn't really a word of indictment. God was just placing a higher demand on me. He required more from me. And I needed to surrender. Because even that evening, later that night, I called their leader in the ministry. I said, do you know this man? What kind of man is? He said, genuine man. He's a man of prayer. He's that. Oh, I said, that's all I need. So I knew the Lord had. So I had to go back to God and say, God, thank you for even having me in mind to send a word to me. I'm challenging us as I close here today. Friends, the journey is great, but grace is available. No matter what is on your way, delays may be on your way, setbacks may be on your way, persecution may be on your way, victories will come along the way as signposts that you are making progress. Some setbacks may come on your way as deterrents to destiny. Whatever is on your way, embrace grace. Time will not permit me this time. Our apostles in the house will handle that. There is a grace to come at the coming of Jesus. And the coming of Jesus in two dimensions, recognize that. Every time you catch the revelation of Jesus, a measure of grace is imparted. But then there is the final coming, either for us individually or for us collectively. There is another grace that awaits us at the coming of the Lord. But I'm challenging this house, no matter your journey, no matter your challenge, no matter your location, no matter your status, let the grace of God arm you. Don't turn it into lewdness, into license for perversion, into license for immorality. Don't nullify grace. Don't receive the grace in vain. Our God is an investor, and he seeks returns on investment. Read the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 from verse 12. You read the parable of the pounds, the money in Luke chapter 19. You will see that both when he gave 10, one each, and when he gave another company, gave one 5, gave one 2, gave another one 1, in both cases, he came back to reckon with the recipients what they did with what they received. Say to yourself, I have received grace. Say it again, I have received grace. For the grace that cost God his son, total grace is the revelation of Jesus also, is Jesus personified. For the grace that came at the expense of Jesus, there will be a reckoning.
His divine enabling to live not according to the standards of this world, but according to the standards of the age to come, to be able to live the days of heaven in this present age, to live according to the power of an endless life in this present age. Friends, there will be a day of reckoning. Don't let your pastor, who may be given to lewdness, hijack you from that pathway of reckoning. Don't let that mentor, who is now becoming a tormentor, what he built into you is becoming what he wants to destroy in you. Don't let him take you away from the righteous reckoning of the Lord. He said, if I build again the things I destroy, I become a transgressor. Friends, whatever, whoever, wherever, jealously guard grace. Because it came at the expense of the life of the Son of God. Shall we take him out?
Yemi koleshe, kemi mani oluwa. Baba mi loje, olohun agbalaga. Baba mi loje, olohun agba oye. Yemi koleshe, kemi mani oluwa. Hallelujah.
I just like you to soak in this atmosphere. There is an atmosphere here. It's an atmosphere of consecration. Purity of grace being transmitted into lives. No matter your level on the mountain, you are at the base of the mountain, you are midway in your mountain climb, you are already at the apex of your mountain of influence. Grace is being transmitted in this atmosphere. I'd like you to soak it in. I'd like you to soak it in. I'd like you to soak it in. Whatever your journey, the grace of God is sufficient. Whatever is ahead of you, the grace of God can see you through. Grace. 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 Shall we all rise to our feet in this atmosphere? There is an atmosphere in this place. I don't want to truncate it. I will have to take my leave. My flight is in the next 1 hour. But there is something here right now, palpable. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kabasete kaparatia. That grace is regulating lives, purifying hearts, checking motives, strengthening the saints. Ayekazo. Rate kapali pratia. My God, grace is here. Grace is here. Grace is here, coming upon vessels. Vessels unto honor. Coming upon ladies. Where you have been discriminated against, the grace will speak for you and distinguish you. Huh? Grace is here. Grace is here. Grace is here. Grace is here. Ma yeshe ayeko parote. Disomina korata plai. My God, my God, my God. Josaphati Mandria Rabori Zutishega Pahata. Yes, Lord. Let your power break forth in this place. Generating consecration. Generating a resolve. Generating the enabling of the Spirit, the supernatural. For lives, for young people, for married people, for aged people, for male, for female, representing various mountains of influence. Grace!
Let's give God praise for the great messages that we've heard. If you have heard something that has been a blessing to your soul, lift up your voice and appreciate God. give him praise for the grace that he has taught us, that grace he has released for us, that grace that he has brought to our consciousness. Open your mouth and just give God praise. I don't believe you are here without catching something. Whatever it is that you have caught, lift up your voice and begin to appreciate the Lord. Give God praise. Give God praise. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, Lord God, for the vessels through whom you have spoken to us. Father, we appreciate you for the light of the revelation that has dawned upon our souls. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. Lord, we give you praise and we honor you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, dear Lord. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. We're going to be praying. There's so much to pray about. Praise the Lord. A lot. God has really downloaded a lot. I want also, this session the man of God took in the morning, he made a statement. He said, grace appears to all men. It does not discriminate. There are certain things you think you know, but when somebody brings it in a light, it comes differently.